Hello, everyone.
I'm Carl.
And I'm Em.
Welcome to our podcast discussing all the latest books. This is season 2, episode 13, and today we are discussing Say You Swear by Megan Brandy. As always, we will save our ratings until the very end.
We promise to give you all of our honest opinions on all the characters, chapters, and scenarios. We don't mean any harm to any of the authors. This is solely our opinion. And as always, we promise to Carl them like we read them.
Period. So, trigger warnings for this book include references to alcoholism, anxiety, car accident, depression, grief, hospitalization, miscarriage, terminal illness, amnesia, rejection. Can you think of any others? Oh, explicit sex scenes on the page. Can you think of any others?
You said injury, didn't you? Football-related injury?
Nope. That does happen. There's several different deaths. There's like death of a baby daddy, death of a mom.
Young pregnancy.
Yeah. It doesn't go into grave detail in this book. I'm sure it does in her book, which is...
It does.
Probably the next book.
It does.
But there is hints to it for sure.
What was the other thing I just thought of?
Emily says cheating. But she didn't cheat.
Overprotective sibling friend group.
Yeah, which honestly was kind of a trigger for me. I was like, that's gross.
Yeah.
He took it a little far, but whatever.
That's all I can think of, though.
Okay. Well, then, as always, take care of yourselves, and spoilers will lie ahead.
If you don't want to hear how this book ends, please pause here, go read the book, and then come back to this episode. Are you ready to get started?
Let's get into it. Okay. So, Emily is actually going to read the blurb for this book, because what I am finding on Amazon is a little different than what the back of the book says. So, Em, take it away.
Best friend broke her heart, but what happens when his new teammate wants to put it back together? Ariana Johnson has been dreaming of what college life might bring, and it's finally coming over to her as she and her friends plan one last beachside summer together. So much has changed over the years, but there's always been one constant. The boy her heart returns to no matter where her imagination runs. Her brother's best friend, Chase. This is the summer she will finally tell him how she feels. That it's him. It's always been him. Until suddenly, it isn't. Ari's heart in splinters when she meets star quarterback Noah Riley. His friendship is exactly what she needs after Chase's rejection, but from the start, Noah wants more. Even when their path is blurry, even when tragedy strikes, even when Ari doesn't know her own heart, Noah fights for the feelings he knows they both have, no matter what it might cost them. They say first love lasts forever, and Ari is about to find out if that's really true.
Let me just say this before we get into this book. I'm so glad she did not end up with Chase.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I don't really actually enjoy a love triangle, so let me just preface that that might impact a lot that I say throughout this episode and my rating at the end.
I'm very disappointed in her rating at the end, but, you know, we'll talk about that when we get there.
Yeah, we will.
I'm sure we may tussle a little bit on this episode because it's one of my favorites. This is like my version of A Court of Silver Flames for Carly.
Yes and no. You, the male character, yes. You're not like obsessed with Ariana the way that I'm obsessed with Nessa.
Mm-mm.
So it's there's that aspect to it too. But for book boyfriends, yes.
All right. To kind of remind you guys what the first half is, 18-year-old Ariana Johnson and her twin brother Mason graduate from high school and head to their beach house for the summer. They invite their close friends Chase, Cameron, and Brady to join. The five friends have grown up together, and Ariana is desperate to make the summer count. They're all attending AFIX University in the fall, and Ariana is afraid that college life will change their relationships. Ariana also hopes that being at the beach house with her friends will make something happen between her and Chase. She's been in love with him since he first moved into the neighborhood when she was 12 and can't stop imagining their future together. When they have sex on the beach one night, she thinks that she might have everything she's ever wanted. However, Chase immediately dismisses their encounter and assures Mason that nothing happened between them. Aury starts her freshman year at Aphex feeling heartbroken, and she avoids her friend group, terrified of letting them see how upset she is over Chase. However, Cameron and Brady miss her and encourage her to attend a boys' football game and party with them. One night, they go to a bar, and Aury ends up dancing with Noah Riley, the handsome football captain who she met briefly while at the beach at the end of the summer. She and Noah spend the rest of the night drinking and talking, and Aury can't deny that she feels attracted to him. So, I have to start off with saying that I do enjoy the friend group at the beginning of the book. Definitely towards the end, I think they did not do Aury right by any means, but we'll get into that when we get to that point. But, so we have Aury, Mason, which are twin siblings. We have Brady, Cameron, who is Ari's best friend. Brady is one of Mason's best friends. And then we have Chase, who is Mason's best friend and Ari's young love interest.
Let me say this before we get into this. I actually really, 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 really liked Brady.
I did too.
And because of that, the entire book, I called Ariana Aury baby in my head.
Yep.
So let me just preface that.
I would
prefer to read his book.
Yeah, I think my opinion, the third book will probably be Brady's perspective.
You do think, though, that Brady and Cameron are going to end up together, right?
I think it's a possibility. Okay. Just because I have read book one and two, and so I think that's a possibility of where it could go.
Oh, so you have read Mason and Peyton's story?
Yeah, Promise Me Not.
Okay, and things happen in that book that lead you to believe. Does her and Trey break up?
I'm not going to tell you. I think you need to read that one, because I do think you would like Peyton and Mason's story.
Okay, but wait. You can tell me whether or not Trey and... Is it another love triangle?
I can't tell you any of that.
What I'm not reading book two. No. I didn't like this one enough to read another one.
That's
I'm sorry.
On you.
Okay.
So anyway.
Know. When it comes out, I'll read spoilers online.
Okay. So Cameron actually reminded me a lot of you. A little spunky, a little sassy. A little bit more outgoing than Aury.
Okay.
You are, in a public setting, you're a lot more outgoing than I am.
Yeah, but like this, I almost called her a hoe for some reason, but kind of is. This girl like goes to bars and stuff.
Well,
that's not me at all.
I said she kind of reminds me of you, not like copy paste with K's, but it wasn't copy paste.
With K's?
With K's. Copy with a K.
I know, but Pace doesn't have a K, so why'd you do plural?
I know. Oh, well. Judge me another time, okay?
Okay.
So, anyway, she reminded me a lot of you in most ways. Not exactly copy and paste. But Cameron is aware of Aury's feelings for Chase. But Mason is like super overprotective. He basically will not allow Aury or Cameron to do anything on their own, which if something had happened to them in their childhood where like maybe one of them got like touched inappropriately or like something like that, I could kind of understand.
Had a sibling
it.
That died.
Yeah. Which they talked about, like basically he was really overprotective because I think their dad's sister had passed away. And so it's like scared him to be overprotective. To me, that storyline just didn't really exactly mean that level of overprotectiveness.
I agree.
And he almost like forces his friends to be overprotective of them as well. So I don't know. It's a little weird, but.
Well, and I also think like, what's the best way to ensure that like your friend protects your sister for his life? To date and marry her. I mean, otherwise like, what do you mean?
Yeah, it's a little much.
And also like protective in certain ways, but then protective in other ways not.
Yeah.
Like she's out at the bar and they're there, but they're, I don't know.
I would
weird.
Expect if like they all went out to the bar, like him staying sober so that way he can like watch over her as she's drinking.
Yes.
Or
correct.
Like preventing her from drinking or, you know, something. Just,
yeah.
I don't know. There was,
it was done in a weird way.
Yeah.
And it was very, like, extra. It was a little too much for me.
Yes.
Like, kind of gave me heebie-jeebies.
Yes. I have to say, my perspective of him changes in the second book for sure, but...
I'm sure him, like, protective of Peyton is more attractive because it's
100%.
Not a sister. 100%. It makes it better.
100%,
but...
yeah. But... they are all at their beach house, which apparently like their parents bought it years ago and like gifted all of the friend group this house as like their graduation present, which is a little weird because I mean like they're not renting it out or doing anything with it when they're not staying there. So, I mean, it's a little weird to me. And like, not only that, but it doesn't seem like their parents are that wealthy. Like they don't really talk about that kind of thing.
Yeah. It's also very, very privileged.
Yes.
Which you kind of get that vibe really on it, if we're being honest, throughout the rest of the book too. Like they very clearly did not have the experience that I had in college.
Yeah.
And like, I told you this too, but like a lot of the book is written, I don't want to say their writing is immature, but like the characters are clearly immature.
Yeah.
They say things to each other that are, I don't know, like some of the phrases that are used and different things are just, they're odd to me. They're not what I would picture. It's not my experience with the college kids my age, but I also did not live the college life like they did. So maybe I just missed that part. I don't know. But
I mean, I was telling Carly.
You were weird because you were in band.
I kind of had like a weird immature friend group. And like, I was not very experienced with life whenever I came. And Carly attests that to me being in band. But
it's a known fact that band is like its own little society in high school.
Oh, I'm not disputing that fact. But that doesn't mean that like, things weren't happening. People weren't doing things that we weren't, you know, privy to, but it just wasn't me.
No, 1,000%. I'm saying you were our own little society and you in fact were doing things you probably shouldn't have done, but getting away with it because of that.
Not me.
Okay. Not you in particular, but band in general. I was not in band, but I dated someone who was in band. And they got away with a lot more than I ever got away with. Mm. And let me put this preference. I don't think I was like a jock in high school, but I did play sports. So I hung around with other people who played sports and I didn't go to parties and stuff though. So that might be why, but like, and the way these people talk, like my friends were immature and said stupid stuff, but not like this. And like in this book, it almost makes it out to be like the women are more immature than the guys, which was weird because that obviously is not how life is.
I think that was kind of written that way because of like the overprotectiveness, like the brother and his friends would not allow them to do much else besides be with them kind of thing. So I took it as that kind of,
I don't know. It's just like, even like the language that's used is very immature. I don't know.
Maybe it's because they only spend time around boys who sometimes doesn't say the most mature thing.
But like the guys weren't saying it. The girls were saying it.
True.
It was just strange. I don't know. And like Noah Riley being as mature as he was, I'm sorry. No. I don't think he would have enjoyed hanging out with his fellow football players as much as he did. So
I think he was as mature as what he was because of everything he had to go through with his mom. I think he had to mature a lot more than the other ones did.
Oh, no, I agree. But I just mean, like, I matured much earlier than my fellow classmates, and they got on my nerves when they acted like that. I didn't want to be around them because they were annoying. So, like, I don't know.
That's maybe why he didn't hang out with many people prior to, I was about to say Violet, but that's the wrong book. Ari's.
Maybe. I don't know. It just was weird. Like, he was, I don't know. Also, and I get that they're, you know, 18, 19 years old, and he's 21, 22, whatever, in this book. So I get they are young in general anyways. I just was, like, relating it to, like, my personal experience. But not everybody grew up the way I did. So maybe you really are that immature, and I just don't know it. That could just be me.
I mean, you have to explain a lot of things to me, so it's a possibility.
No, but you also matured early.
Yeah, but I mean, I still...
In certain ways.
I still, like, was sheltered in other ways. I think it's just how you were raised versus me. And you were allowed a lot more freedom than I was, that's for sure.
My mom didn't have time to pay attention to me. But I also think that I listened to the book on Audible. And as kindly as I can say this, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
It ruined it. Like, Emily thinks that's probably why it was even worse and sounded even more immature to me, but I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, so I read the book the first time I read it and then read most of it and then started listening to the last half. And I was still thinking that it was fine until I started listening to the Audible. And I actually texted Carly and was like, hey, like, I don't think it's the book. I think it's the Audible. She just sounds like she's like 12 And then like whenever he's trying to do her voice, because it's just like every chapter is like straight the gender that's reading it. And so like he tries to do like this womanly voice when he's talking like in Arya. And it reminds me of like Robin Williams playing Miss Doubtfire kind of like voice.
It wasn't even as good as Robin doing Miss Doubtfire. Yeah. It was bad. And then like, I mean, this comes back to the writing, not necessarily with the voice actors, but just like the phrases they would say, and like a lot of them have bad language, so I can't really repeat them, but just like Cameron said several, like in biatch.
Yeah.
I was like, are we 12? No offense, but like, I got in trouble in the first grade for cussing. But that could be because how I was raised. I was shown that at a much earlier age, so maybe that's what it is. I don't know, but it was just very like, I don't know. And then for like such serious things to happen to them as the book goes on, and yet they're still so immature. Like, I don't know. It was weird for me.
Carly had a hard time with this one, but...
I did. I struggled. And not to say that I hated it, though. Like, I didn't hate the book. Don't get me wrong. It just... I wouldn't read it again. But...
Breaks my heart a little, but... Okay. We're going to move past that. When they get to the beach, they go down hanging out. The boys are playing or throwing footballs and kind of hanging out. We end up also getting, they're joined by Ariana, whatever her name is. I can't
remember. Ari.
Yeah, Ari's cousin, Nate, his fiance, which they call Lolly. And then they also have a conversation about Peyton, who is pregnant with Mason's friend, Deaton, who has passed away's baby, and how she's kind of doing and handling things.
And then what's her brother's name?
Peyton's brother?
Yeah.
I cannot remember.
I kept forgetting who he was when his name would get brought up.
Hold on, this is just chapter 2, so.
It says it in there.
Yeah. She names the baby after him.
No, she names the baby after Deaton. Baby D, as they call him. Parker. Parker's his name.
Yeah, but she really is like hoping that something happens with Chase. Chase has basically ignored anything happening, honestly, to the point of like, I really generally don't think he was interested. I think it was the fact that she was no longer interested is why he became interested.
I agree.
Because it just genuinely did not, like, he cared about her like a sister, but then it was almost like he didn't want anything more until he couldn't have anything more, or almost like once he got it, he was just like, okay, whatever.
I agree.
But he really just genuinely did not seem to have anything. There's multiple instances, though, in the beginning of the book where they're kind of flirty and she's like rubbing up on him when she's dancing at the club, and then like stuff like that, that he like gets turned on.
I feel like the club scene, though, at the beginning, like she took a little too serious. I feel like, I mean, no offense to you males, but I honestly feel like if any girl rubbed her butt on a dude's dick, he would probably get a little hard.
Yeah.
Because they're simple creatures. But, so I feel like she kind of took it as a little, and like, just because he's like attracted to you does not mean he's in love with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she was equating those two things too. So I was kind of like, girl, you're about to be embarrassed.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, they try talking about it too, and he just kind of like, I don't know, just, he insists he loved her, but even then, whenever he was telling her he loved her, it just didn't still seem genuine. I don't know.
I agree. It turned into something he couldn't have, and that's why he wanted her, and that was it.
Yeah, and so as they're sitting there talking and everything, Ari ends up getting hit in the head with a football, and she looks up to find that the new football captain, Noah Riley, has appeared on the beach along with his friend, Trey Donovan, who apparently Cameron has hooked up with prior whenever her and Ari were on vacation in Florida. Noah and Ari continue talking, and she kind of starts wishing that he hadn't interrupted her conversation with Chase, but kind of feels a little like okay with it too. It was kind of a little bit of a confusing feeling, but I get where she's coming from, where she's like, I feel like I shouldn't have been upset with interrupting Chase's conversation, but at the same time, like, I'm I'm okay with it because I feel comfortable with Noah, whatever.
I will say I have liked Noah since we met him.
Absolutely.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I do like Noah. I don't think he's my top book boyfriend like you do, but I do
enjoy
Noah.
He's not after Onyx Storm, but
okay, he's definitely not second for me either, but I still like him, but he's just not my absolute.
See, I
not in my top three for sure.
I think Carly and I's biggest dispute over Noah is the fact that she wishes that he like fought for her harder at the end of this
book. Bro, I know all y'all have seen the vow. First of all, this felt like we used that. But second of all, in the vow, he is like, wants to take her out on a date and wants her to fall back in love with him. Instead of this book where he just lets her be. And we'll talk more about it later, but yeah. I think he did wrong. And I think her friends did wrong too, to be quite frank. I think Chase was wrong for what he did too. Don't get me wrong. It's not just Noah that I have opinions about. But
see, I have more opinions about the friends than I do Noah.
I think you should fight for the one you love. And you can do that without going against her boundaries. Also, I think she was kind of dumb and should have guessed what was going on. But
I mean, we've never lost her memory, so we can't exactly speak to that for sure.
No, but this hoe knew that it wasn't Chase's baby. The only other person showing up that is a male and could have slept with her is Noah Riley. I think we're smart enough to put two and two together.
I feel like,
honestly, why would he keep showing up if it wasn't because he was the baby's daddy?
I feel like, honestly, there should have been a little bit of a scene where she like questioned a little bit if it was Brady, and just for like a little bit of like comedy. You know what I mean?
It would have been funny if, like, in the moment when she thought it was Chase, and Chase was like, well, who else could it be then? Brady?
Yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah. That would have been funny, but not too much further than that.
Yeah.
But, okay, if it's not Chase and Brady, who's the one other male in the room? Who's the male that keeps coming back? Who else would it be, baby?
I do think at some point, yes. Starting off, like, I could kind of understand where...
No, day one, I'm not saying day one.
Yeah.
But the fact that she went weeks and never even had the thought, could it possibly be this man who continues to come back and show he cares and wants to be around me?
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
It was dumb.
Well, and so we end up finding out that Cameron has kind of got a crush on Mason as well. And so whenever everything had happened between Cameron and Trey during that summer in Florida, she kind of told him that she just wasn't emotionally available. And Ari kind of realizes based on that conversation that he cares about Cameron, but not in the way that Cameron cares about him.
Mason doesn't.
Yeah. And so they're at the beach bonfire and Noah comes up. They chit chat. I really like that Ariana calls Noah Romeo, and they start talking about how Chase has been like staring down Ariana throughout the conversation, and Ari like insists like Chase is not looking at her, and Noah's like, no, like, no, nothing forces a man to face his feelings for a woman more than the interests of another man. And so as Noah's leaving, he calls Ari Juliet whenever he's saying goodbye. And whenever Chase comes back over, he makes a rude comment about Noah, and he doesn't quite like understand why Noah bothers him. And Ari kind of feels a little something something, and she just hopes it's gonna go away, and she just really doesn't elaborate too much more on it. And the next day the girls have a chit chat, and Cameron kind of explains to Ari that she realizes Mason isn't into her, but she's not as upset as what I would personally think it would be, especially like almost like how Ari was upset about Chase, like, you know.
Yeah,
but she realizes
but that maybe that's because we don't get Cameron's point of view about it.
True.
Maybe she's put on a tough face, you know.
True.
I don't know.
But she says that she's really excited to see Trey again, and Ari encourages her to kind of enjoy herself. She runs into Chase, Ari does, in the living room whenever she goes to sneak out of bed to go get some water, and they decide to get ice cream, and they have like this little like weird flirtation over ice cream in the kitchen, and Mason ends up interrupting and breaking up their encounter, and basically Mason's like, get to your room, like, put on some pants next time before you come downstairs, which is kind of weird because like he's seen you in bathing suits that I'm sure are like bikinis. So Is it really that much?
She still shouldn't be walking around in her panties with her brother being in the house.
I mean, what's the difference between a bikini and
Emily
panties?
You gonna tell me you walked around your house in underwear with your brothers? No.
At a certain age, no, but
she's at that certain age, I'd say.
I mean, probably. But like, to me, I mean, she had a t-shirt that was covering her panties.
I don't care. I'm not gonna walk around in a t-shirt and panties in front of my brother.
I just don't see what the difference between that and a bikini is.
It's what it covers is not really that different, but it's the principle by the fact that you're related and those are your parts.
I still feel like a bikini would show more than a t-shirt and some panties.
Well, it depends on what bikini, what t-shirt and panties you wear. But like, it wasn't just the t-shirt and panties. She was very clearly on the counter with her legs spread and him between them.
Well, that extent, yes. A little far.
There was more than just not have a pants on.
Yeah.
She's been not have any panties on either.
Well, and then after, like, she goes upstairs and Chase follows her and says, hey, like, you forgot your ice cream. He grabs her and kisses her. And Cameron kind of catches the instance and, you know, they, you know, kind of.
Weird, too. I didn't get that chat with the instant.
Yeah.
It felt like he was, like, just trying to see or, like, just trying to have fun.
Yeah. I really kind of felt like he used her a little bit.
Yeah.
But Mason ends up confronting Ari the next day about her relationship with Chase. And he's like, you know, I know you have feelings for him. I don't want you to get involved. I don't want you to ruin the friend group, which I do feel is a little selfish on her brother's part of, like, I don't want you to be happy so that we our friends all stay together.
Yeah. I think he knew, though, that, like,
Chase didn't feel the same.
I think he was confident that her and Chase were not meant to be forever.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
I definitely think by his response that that is definitely a high possibility for sure.
Yeah. Like, he was like, if you do that, it's going to end badly and it's going to break up the friend group. Not necessarily like you don't deserve to be happy. Just, I don't think he's the right one for you. Now, do I think that's his place? No. But I think that's kind of where he was.
Yeah. So they go to Lolly's for breakfast a couple days later, and Ari kind of notices how protective the boys are of Peyton, who is the girl that's pregnant. They've pretty much welcomed Peyton into the friend group pretty well, and, you know, they sit around, watch movies together. Cameron begs Chase for a back massage, after which she invites Ari to get the back massage, and, like, the
that
other
was
friends.
Weird.
Yeah, like, the other friends start going to sleep in their rooms. But when Chase starts touching Ari, like, they start getting a little intimate.
She read it like Chase just offered to Ari to give her a back massage.
Yeah.
And Cameron was like, well, I'm just going to go to my room and go to sleep. You know, why did he give Cameron a back massage first? It's just weird. I don't know.
I did like the quote where she says, I think about my family and friends, of my own personal dreams, and the life I want for myself down the road. And then I think about it being stolen from under me, just like it was from Peyton. Like the waves are stealing the sand from beneath my feet this very moment with their fight of dominance, leaving the ground beneath me unsteady as the world around me suddenly feels. I think that's a very good comparison of how she was kind of feeling in her life at that moment, because, I mean, her whole future is kind of up in the air. She's not sure what she wants to do. She's not sure how she wants to go about doing it. Like, she's just very here for the friend group kind of vibes and, you know, just kind of going along with what everybody else wants.
She really is. And she admits that to Noah later.
Yeah. So Chase kind of just gets a little defensive in this chapter. So they go out to the beach and they start kissing, have sex. And then afterwards, Mason kind of appears and Chase gets defensive and is just like, oh, it was nothing. Like, nothing happened between us. It was nothing. So Ari just kind of feels pretty guilty, or not guilty, rejected. But rejected. Chase feels guilty, but he says he didn't know what to tell Mason, which, you know, you could just say, hey, like, I'm in love with your sister. That
or
was
you could
what
just
you really
like
felt.
Say nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't catch him in the act.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just, like, to be honest, I kind of disliked how do I word this? How kind of protective over Chase's image, I guess the group was. Like, I mean, all of them are pretty much obvious to the fact that Ari feels something for Chase. And then it was not...
I don't think her brother had any idea.
No, he says it earlier in the book. Like, I know that you feel something towards him. Just be careful. Don't mess up the friend group. And so, like, to me, I just kind of feel that... It was almost like they were, like, whenever she gets upset after this and she's, you know, hiding away from her friends and all that kind of stuff because she doesn't want any of that. It's almost just like, well, come out. Like, don't mess with the friend group. Just come out. And then she's like, well, something, she doesn't elaborate, like, me and Chase had sex, but she's like, something happened between us, like, not okay with it, whatever. And I just need to come to a conclusion with my feelings. Everybody's like, oh, who cares about that? Like, Chase is fine. You're fine. Let's get together. And it was almost just like, disregarding Ariana's feelings about whatever it is, no matter how severe or how not severe they thought it was, like, she still has the right to feel how she was feeling. And I mean, Chase even makes the comment that it was a mistake. So, I mean, the fact that she's been in love with this man for basically like at least 10 years of her life, then all of a sudden he's just like, yeah, I slept with you and it was nothing. I mean, I can understand how that could be devastating to somebody. And then, I mean, it was her first time on top of that. So, I just think that it was tremendously, like, disappointing in their treatment of Ariana and her feelings.
Well, and so I was more, I think, disappointed in Cameron, because Cameron knew everything.
Yeah.
I don't think her brother knew she might have had feelings for him. I don't think her brother knew that they slept together or any of that. Or that Chase reciprocated them at all. I don't think he knew that, because later when he finds out that they did sleep together, he's enraged.
Yeah.
But, and it's unclear really what Brady knows until she tells him flat out. But yeah. I don't know when he found that out or if she told him at that point. I don't really know for sure. But Cameron did. Cameron knew everything the entire time. And I felt like she kind of was saying, like, if you come out, you'll get over it. Like, if you see him, it'll be fine. You know, yeah. Like, dismissive of, like, how bad it really hurt her. And maybe that's because Cameron wasn't, like, as obsessed with Mason as she was with Chase. So maybe she thought they had similar experiences and Cameron was able to move past it, allegedly. Maybe that's what she was thinking. I don't know. But I agree. They were dismissive. And then, like, when they actually did finally get back together, they didn't even, like, go out of their way to, like, separate them or, like, call Chase out if he did something. Or, you know what I mean? Like, him, like, going in for a hug and stuff. Like,
yeah.
I would have knocked him. Don't touch my friend.
Well, yeah, and especially Cameron. I would think that, I mean, I know you, and I'm saying that you're pretty similar to Cameron.
I'm aggressive, though, so yeah. I don't know.
So, like, I feel like she kind of comes off that vibe, too. So, like, I mean, for the fact that you know that your best friend's hurting because this guy basically rejected her after, like, 10 years of her following around and, like, thinking she's in love with him, like, you would full on, like, punch that dude if he tries to come in, like, hug me.
Minimum, I'd have a conversation with him after that happened and say, hey, you need to understand she doesn't want you to touch her.
Yeah.
Don't touch her again.
So,
at the minimum.
I don't know if this plays on, like, the immaturity that you talked about in the book or what exactly it ignited with, but I just kind of felt like it was just so disrespectful towards Ari and her feelings, no matter, I mean, even if, like, Chase said something offensive and it hurt her feelings and that was, like, the extent of it, she has every right to feel how she feels, and, like, everybody shouldn't be pressuring her to feel any different. So I don't know, I was just very disappointed in the friend group and how the behavior was. And honestly, this isn't the first point where I'll probably say that.
I agree.
But like I told Carly, my rating is solely on the fact of Noah Riley rather than the whole book as a whole.
Which doesn't make sense to me, because you can love a character and still hate the book.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. You can. I cannot.
But I'm just saying, like, him being okay does not negate anything else for the book for me. Like, he's not great enough to love this book with all these problems.
Because every scene that he's in is just beautiful.
But it's also not, like, overly...
No, and I think that's why I like it so much, is it's not, like, overly... Like, to me, this is, like, realistic romance, I guess you can say. Like, the way things kind of went down to me kind of seemed like something that could realistically happen. So,
yeah, and I was still disappointed. I don't know. I would have wrote it differently.
I'm sure. Honestly, I think if you hadn't listened to Audible, or it had better Audible, and then it just took out a couple lines, I think you would have at least given it like a 4.2.
4.2? I don't think so.
I think so.
Did you see my rating on Fable? Is that how you know what my actual number is?
Yeah.
Okay, I figured.
So Ari and Cameron go to a bar off campus, and turns out that Noah and her end up dancing together. They chit chat, they start talking, and Trey and Noah kind of tell Ari and Cameron about their first years at AFIX. And
I did more of Trey.
I did like Trey a lot.
You get more of him in book two?
Probably about equal, I would say.
Oh. So clearly they break up. Because if it's her book, we'd get
no. The second book's not her book; it's Peyton and Mason's.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay.
So,
book hers? Has she even talked about book three yet?
I think that's what I read. Hold on, let me research it.
Is it hers or is it Brady's book? We're just not supposed to know what's going to happen. I don't really even care who Brady ends up with, but I have a feeling Cameron ends up with Trey, and Brady ends up with that little girl in the library that he had blushing. Because she got brought up two times in this book. And I think that would be super cute. Like a little cute shy girl I think that would be a really cute story.
Goodreads and Amazon doesn't have any description, and it doesn't look like.
That's okay.
Well, it's fantasticfiction.com says that this is Cameron's book in the description. I don't remember. I think there's an excerpt from it in the back of the Promise Me Not, but I don't have it in front of me right now to say gotcha. For sure. Let me see release date. June 17th is when that one comes out.
Of this year?
Mm-hmm. We do also get where Ari apparently references like songs that she hears in her set about how, which I do that too, so I ain't gonna complain about that line for sure, because there's multiple times I just don't often say it out loud where Ari seems to say it out loud, but there's a lot of things in life that remind me of a song and I say it in my head at least. So
I understand that, but I felt the way that it was done in this book was weird.
It was a little tasteless in a couple of spots. Yes.
It also wasn't consistent.
No.
So that was my problem. Like, if she actually had a song that came up with all, like, that often, she should have been, like, in a whole lot of other scenes.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Trey and Cameron go and leave, and Ari and Noah stay and continue talking. Ari kind of just word vomits, I guess is the best way of saying it, and tells Noah about her feelings for Chase and kind of what every detail that happened between them at the beach house. And Noah listens pretty intently, and he doesn't make Ari feel uncomfortable about her feelings towards the situation. And he kind of notes that she hasn't been hanging out at the football house. And she tells him that it's because she's been avoiding Chase. And when they walk back to her dorm, she realizes like she doesn't actually want to say goodbye to Noah, and she does anyways, but he does show up the next morning with coffee and breakfast, and they spend the morning chit-chatting. Ari feels very comfortable with Noah, and they exchange numbers and start texting. Ari's friend group ends up finding her alone at her dorm, and Cameron teases her when she finds the napkin with Noah's number on it. She kind of feels a little awkward around her friends for a little bit, but she starts distracting herself with texting Noah past that conversation. Now I can't help but wonder if Noah could use a friend as much as I need one, which we end up finding later on that Noah does, because he's not really had many great friends over his lifetime. They end up texting. They refer to each other often as Romeo and Juliet in these text messages, and Noah eventually asks her to have dinner with him, and her and Brady are in the library, and she's still kind of a little skeptical about hanging out with a friend group, and I really love that Noah walked in and was just like, oh, we've already got plans. Like, whenever he just notices that she's feeling uncomfortable. And
it was cute.
It was very protective, but yet, like, respectful of her boundaries, because he allowed her to make that decision on, you know, what they wanted to do or whatever. So they go to his house and they start cooking. He talks about how his mom had taught him how to cook. They made dinner every night. It was very, very sweet. Loved it so much. And it just, it was like such an intimate moment, but yet such like a kind of like natural flowing moment at the same time. Like they felt comfortable enough with each other to like let each other into like their secrets and things like that. And I really enjoyed that moment. It's one of my favorite scenes. So they go to another party. They start hanging out and cooking dinner pretty regularly together.
I gotta say, that's like one of my favorite things about their relationship is him teaching her how to cook.
Yes.
But really him just cooking for her. That's yes. Adorable. I love that. That's probably because I like to eat and I love that.
And it was very simple. I really love that he was like, yeah, I'm teaching you how to cook. And I mean, just every time she would be like, oh, I didn't know that I was supposed to be following these steps. Like, let's do it again. And so it was almost like she was intentionally creating a next time kind of conversation. So I really enjoyed that as well.
Yeah, same.
I did really also enjoy it whenever they went to the bumper boat park and they take like the water guns and they're like running away and Noah kind of distracts her a little bit so that way Brady can dump water on her head. And it's not the first time nor the last time they will be escorted out by security, that's for sure. But I really liked that like carefree fun moment where Noah kind of fit in pretty good with her friend group as well.
See, okay, so for me, that was part of like a little bit of like the immaturity too, is like they're always like security chasing them. I don't know about y'all. I did not live a life where I could risk it and have fun like that and try to break the law. My mom had too much going on and was too stressed for me to add to it. So I follow the rules to a T.
I mean, I did too. I wish I wasn't. I didn't.
Like, as soon as they would have said, like, you need to get off those rocks, I would have gotten off those rocks.
Yeah.
We can go have fun without risking everybody's safety and criminal charges. So, like, and I get that's me. I'm a party pooper. I've always been a party pooper. So I understand that. But so, like, little things like that for me just kept coming back to remind me that, like, they're so immature.
I get you.
And then they use phrases that were weird. I'm still stuck on Cameron says, it's later in the book, but she says two things back to back that were just so odd to come out of a young girl's mouth for me. That it was like, that's so weird.
They end up having a little bit of a moment whenever Ari stays in and she remembers that the last time that she was in Chase's truck, they almost kissed and Mason interrupted them. And she kind of wonders if they'd be together at that point, if they had kissed that day. But I still think it would have ended up just exactly the same as where she's at, even without like Noah being a part of it. I just don't think that.
I think it would have crashed and burned earlier if they had gotten together sooner.
And I think because if it did happen earlier, like during high school, I do think that it probably would have dissolved the friend group, because I think that honestly, Noah kind of saved the friend group as well, to be honest. So
I agree.
So they all come over to Noah's house and hang out, and she's a little reluctant about sharing the space with her friends, but I did really love how comfortable she was in his apartment, and everybody's kind of like looking at her like, so you come here often apparently, like, you know, which of course they're probably all going to like worst case scenario, but I was really shocked at like their reaction because of how productive they've been about every other guy being kind of around them. They didn't seem that uncomfortable. And I don't know if that's just because he was like their superior and, you know, being your captain or whatever. Or
I think at least for Mason, I think Mason has like been able to see him like in his own element and stuff too, and like how he is at practice and with the guys and stuff, and see that like he's also sort of like protective and he's a mentor, and so I think he probably trusts him to a certain level. I think that's why he was like, okay, I'll let you hang out with him. Yeah, but I mean, he definitely kept an eye on him still, though, too. And like when Mason was going to drive her home, but then Noah interjects or whatever, like he makes it very clear, I'll still kick your ass if you wreck or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like he's not just like letting him off the hook entirely.
Yeah.
But I do agree. Like it was pretty quick and easy.
But they do all end up falling asleep while they're watching a movie. And I love that Noah and her have this like little moment where they're chit-chatting. And Noah asks Ariana, are you still waiting for Chase? And she kind of has this moment where she like drifts over to Chase and his eyes are open. And she had thought he was previously asleep. And she drifts back over to Noah and she's like, no, I'm not. And I don't know. I loved that moment because it was just like her finally like admitting her feelings like, okay, I'm not going to wait around for him. Like, I'm going to find something for myself. But I just love it.
It was a good scene.
So they learn a little bit more about each other through their cook and chat time. They do have a moment where Ari asks Noah if he wants to kiss her. And he admits that he does, but he wants to wait until she's sure about her feelings. But he then promises her from then on, he'll never deny what she wants ever again.
Now, that was a good scene.
Yes, I love that so much. And honestly, that's the start of like where I really started falling for Noah, because like he was just so attentive to, and especially like in relation to her friends, even like her friend group was not attentive to what she wanted. It's what they wanted for her. And so Noah was very, very cautious about every single thing he did. It was what Ari wanted, what Ari felt like she needed. It was very on Ari's terms, where her friend group was just like, no, this is what you're going to do because this is what we want you to do or what we're going to do. And you just need to be tagging along like you have been your whole life. And I think that's kind of a test to Ari kind of finding herself in college a little bit too, but I love that. I loved it so much that he was just so team Ari. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, in Onyx Storm, how we all said that like Riddick was like the only one that was like team Violet the whole time. So I really love that.
No, I agree. I do think that partially though, that's because that's how he was with his mom.
Yeah.
So I don't know that I would say it's extremely healthy, but I did also enjoy it. And she doesn't take advantage of it. So that's good until the end, really. But she didn't, I guess, know she was taking advantage of it. But so I do at least appreciate that. But he very easily could be taken advantage of. So
absolutely.
Also, I was a little nervous about that. Like when Chase kept coming back up, I was like, I need you to decide and make it clear to Chase. I don't like love triangles. I don't like them at all. I think they're stupid.
So they go out to a party after midterms and Ari runs into Chase. She freezes, but she does find herself kind of hugging him. As Chase is talking to her, she sees Noah and Paige out of her peripheral vision. And she's not quite sure what the dynamic is, but like she's just totally like honed in on Noah. But Noah interrupts and tells her that he's taking Paige home and he wants her to come with him. And she's just kind of like, oh no, you're fine. He's like, no, if you came for me, I want you to come with me.
We love a man that can communicate. I don't think it's realistic for a 21, 22 year old college football player. No offense. But we love a man that can communicate.
Absolutely. And after they get done dropping him off, they go somewhere and he just listens to Ari and her dreams and hopes and everything for the future. And he doesn't judge her, especially after she said like her one main dream is to just be a mom. And, you know, he just kind of is like, no, that's a realistic dream. Like, you don't have to have your whole life set out with, you know, career goals and everything else. Like, you can have that dream. And she just kind of...
Of course you can when you might marry a man who's going to go pro in football.
True.
I love that for her. Like, don't get me wrong. I love that he supported that's what she wanted to do and didn't say, like, no, you have to do something.
Yeah.
But I will say that I did not see that comment turning into a miscarriage.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
Maybe because they're college age, so my mind was thinking, like, they're in school, they're not going to do that. And also because they weren't having sex at that point, so maybe that's kind of what it was, but I never for once saw that turning into a miscarriage.
I agree. I did not see that one coming.
Came out of nowhere until she got hit by the car, and then when the doctor was like trying to break the news, I caught on before he actually said what it was, but before then I had no idea that's where we were going.
Well, and she makes the comment, "My family means everything to me. I want to be everything my mom is, strong and independent in my own way, a solid example, but human in my mistakes. I want to be proud and encouraging, accepting but firm, and even when it hurts, even when it's hard, I want to make chicken and dumplings when my daughter feels like her world is falling apart like teens think, and I want to bake cupcakes with stupid sweet frosting when my son's too hard on himself for a bad grade or a dropped pass." I laugh, lowering my head. Yeah, clearly I have some work to get there. Sorry. It like trailed off with like, but dot, dot, dot. And I was like, well, that doesn't even finish the sentence. So the very next chapter, Ari and Noah go to the medical center where Noah introduces Ari to his mother, which I love his mom so much. You can clearly tell how he is from her. And her name is Lori. And she asks Noah to go grab a juice, and as she does, she thanks Ari for making Noah happy again, that like this is the best she's ever seen him in years. Ari then decides after this that she doesn't want to go home, and they go their separate ways. So they go into a pumpkin patch and they kiss at the pumpkin patch, and it's just like a really sweet moment where I loved it so much.
Okay, I mean, I liked it. But it was just like, oh, they went to the pumpkin patch.
Well, I mean, like, the whole day. I'm not talking about, like, just the pumpkin patch. I just, like, the fact that they're not even, like, official, and he's introduced her to his mom and stuff. It was sweet, and how much, like, how grateful his mom was.
Now, I liked that part of it. I liked his mom, and I liked how sweet and grateful she was to Ari. But it also felt like a little rushed.
Yeah.
Because what if she breaks his heart? Matter of fact, she does break his heart. And mom dies, not knowing they get back together.
Yeah.
That's messed up, Megan Brandy. That's messed up.
Yeah.
She did us dirty.
I ain't gonna lie. Like, I teared up. I was just like,
whenever when the mom died?
Well, like, whenever, like, the letter that she writes to Ari.
Oh, absolutely. I teared up when she found out she lost the baby, because that's what Ari wanted. So I felt really bad for Ari.
Yeah.
But then I also teared up when they realized she didn't know Noah, because I teared up for Noah. And then I teared up when Noah's mom died. And honestly, I teared up because I was like, he literally has nobody.
Mm-hmm.
He's alone now.
Yeah.
And then I teared up again when she got the letter from mom. Those are my four moments. I didn't, like, sob uncontrollably, but I did get – it was sad.
The letter from the mom was probably – like, I tear up a little bit whenever, like, we find out that she doesn't know Noah, but, like, the letter from the mom and all that, I just, like, literally, like, tears. I was just like – and especially like the thought, like you said, like she doesn't know that they end up back together. Like that's the, like the hardest part for me.
I agree.
So Noah ends up getting invited to their camping trip. And
I was like, if she doesn't invite him, I'm going to be mad.
Yeah.
You're not.
He didn't like the idea of her being away from, or him being away from her, and like her going away with Chase and stuff. So he was fine with that. And he talks about how much he already cares for her and, you know, how perfect she is and everything. And just, it's super, super sweet. Noah makes coffee in the morning and breakfast for everybody. They hang out, and Ari and Noah go for a walk and end up falling into a pond. Afterwards, they go to hide behind Noah's truck to change, and they end up going into Noah's tent and having some little one-on-one time, and they
warming up.
Yeah, they rejoin their friends and they just kind of act like nothing happened, which of course camera's not gonna let her get away with that.
Okay, but also I found it weird that she was doing that with her brother near.
Yeah, a little awkward.
I'm just gonna be honest, coming back knowing it's weird for me, and I have a brother, so like in the back of my mind that's what I'm thinking of. Like, I would not do that with my brother in the vicinity.
Yeah,
but he's also not my twin and my same age, so maybe it's a little different. I don't know, but for me it was strange.
Yeah. Well, and the next day, Noah leaves to go visit his mom, and Chase ends up joining Ari at the campfire whenever they're cleaning up, and he starts reminiscing about the times they've had together, like, just real weird.
It's weird. I wish she would have just kicked him in his balls.
Well, especially for the fact that he, after years, tells her that the day at the pool, Mason was actually the one that punched him because he was trying to initiate something with Ari. And she's like, why in the world would you tell me this now? Like,
yeah,
why what's do I the care? Point?
I don't.
But I did love that Noah came back and he brought her coffee and she was just like, let me come with you. And so they go.
I thought that's when they were going to tussle over her.
Yeah. It kind of implied that a lot. I definitely thought there was going to be more to the situation for sure. But they end up going and visiting Lori, and she starts hearing stories about Noah, and she starts to kind of realize that he could actually mean more to her than her other friends. And the quote that she says is, he liked to make sure you were never alone. He understood her sacrifices as a young boy and grew up with an open heart and a strong mind, both of which came from unyielding love and support from his mother. He didn't have an army around him like me, but he had her, and he made sure she felt she was enough. Love that so much.
I like a mama's boy to an extent. I don't really like a full mama's boy, but I like a boy that loves his mama.
I think he's definitely just a boy that loves his mama, but
yeah, he's not a mama's boy.
Yeah.
Those are weird.
So Noah and Chase, actually the next day at football practice, ends up in a tussle, and Ari just basically says, let's go.
Like, she doesn't know what's happening.
Exactly.
That bothered me.
Yeah.
Why is he bumping his shoulder? Girl, he just told you he was in love with you. What you think he bumping his shoulder for? Dummy? It's immature. I think that's what it is. Not dumb. That's rude.
So, my thing that I have a problem with is Cameron, when she confronts Ari about the situation. And she gets kind of annoyed that their conflict is ruining the friends group and thinks that Ari's being insensitive to Chase.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And which Ari had a pretty good response. She was like, hey, this is how I feel. I don't want to bring up it again. I'm feeling happy. Like, let's move on. But at the same time, like, for that to be your best friend. And she's like, honey, you should be okay. Like,
yeah, I agree.
Think about Chase and how he feels. Excuse me?
I know. Why would I care about how he feels? It was weird.
So Ari ends up finding out that Mason will be starting the next game as quarterback. And it's an away game. So Ari and Cameron are watching on the TV and they watch Mason get tackled and not get up. So Ari's on the phone with her dad and he's called to see if Cameron and her are okay. And as they're kind of freaking out, wondering if he's okay, whether or not he's getting up, like they keep saying, like he's not moving, Noah runs over to one of the cameras and gives her a little slight nod. And oh, love, especially cute. Like, I can only imagine, like, not getting any news, like nobody knowing any information, and just like getting that moment from somebody that you trust to like, he's okay. And the fact that he thought, like, I'm gonna go tell her that he's okay before I even like move forward at all, just love.
Also, though, and this might be something that I didn't experience because I didn't have your typical college experience, but like, obsession with football is not an interesting plot line to me. So I think that kind of impacted the way I read this book. I mean, I felt bad for Mason and I hoped his injury wasn't like going to ruin his career, because that's where I thought we were going with this.
Yeah.
But it just didn't hit the same way for me that it probably does other people.
I thought it wasn't terrible as far as like I've read a lot of sports romances. And I feel like there's several books where, like, that sports romance is way overdone. And I think this one was not as bad as it could have been, for sure. I think it was, there was just enough for you to understand that that was a side line, but not enough that it was the dominant thing of the story.
It kind of was the dominant thing of the story.
I didn't feel like it was, though. I feel like, I mean, yeah, they mentioned it, but, like, I felt like cooking, or to be honest, was more of a dominant storyline, like their cooking and talking time, than anything else.
That only happens a handful of times.
Yeah, I mean, they talk about going to...
Football is the entire book. Talking about all the games. They're talking about tailgating. They're talking about away games. Talking about on the bus from the games. Talking
about... Oh, I thought you were just talking about, like, football. Like, to me, that's not... Like, them on the bus or something like that, traveling. Like, that's not... I'm not corresponding that with football.
Okay, but that's what they're doing, is they're on the bus traveling to and from games.
Yeah, but to me that was just like traveling. I was like, my corresponding with like the football part. So other sports romance is like, okay, well, I'm on the ice skating.
I've read other sports romances.
Yeah, but I mean, like, other ones, like, there's, it's just like straight, like, I'm in the middle of a football game and I'm only thinking about her. Like, I'm in the middle of practice, I'm only thinking about her.
A whole lot of Noah's point of view until the end, though. We got Ari, who doesn't play football. We got enough football. We got a lot of football, even though Ari doesn't actually play football.
I don't know. To me, it wasn't the dominating thing. Just because I didn't associate all of that with just, like, they're playing football.
Okay.
I don't know how else to describe it. Like, it makes sense in my head, but... Describe it.
I just, like, it just was.
I feel like I've read, like, more dominated, like, only talking about football, only talking about hockey, only talking about baseball books. And, like, I just didn't feel like this was overwhelmingly talking about that. I mean, I get they were there at football practice or they're there at that, but, like, I don't feel like the whole conversation while that scene was happening, you knew they were at football practice the whole time. Like, because it wasn't like, oh, while we're talking about this, we're at football and, oh, Mason's catching this football in the background or Mason's making this tackle in the background.
It did say that because that's how we knew that Noah and Chase were bumping into each other.
In a few chapters, they mentioned stuff like that, but not every single time they're sitting at practice.
Every Friday, it talks about how they're going to go to the game and then go out.
Yeah, but it doesn't, like, talk about the whole football thing.
Partially because she's the girl. She's not the one playing. So there's only so many things she can say. But I mean, I don't think it was literally every other word was football. But football was absolutely a dominant topic in this book. To me. But
to you, yes. Which it may be me overlooking my details. That it was not to me.
Maybe. I don't know. But it stood out to me. I got tired of hearing about football. Especially for it not even to, like, end with either Mason getting injured or, like, Noah going pro, or, like, we never even got, like, an end thing for talking about all these football games. That was strange to me.
Yeah, I get what you're coming from.
But anyways.
So Noah ends up coming back to her dorm and she realizes he's on FaceTime with Mason. She hasn't really been getting any information regarding his injury. So when she's sitting there talking to Mason, she gets a little bit of details, but not really enough to exactly say what was going on. I think he kind of made sure to leave out some points so she didn't worry. But afterwards, Noah and Ari are alone and they end up kissing and she realizes that she needs to be with him. They have a really steamy scene. And the next morning, Ari finds a note from Noah saying that he had to visit his mom but left her some food, invites her to go out to dinner the next night. She gets confronted by Chase at some point, and he's like, are you with Noah? And she says that she is and was kind of hopeful that they'll be okay. But to me, that was the point where Chase was like, oh, no, I'm definitely going to pursue you harder, which started me not liking Chase for sure.
Fair enough.
So they go back and visit Noah's mom a couple days later, and the mom asks Noah to, or asks the nurse to photograph Noah and Ari on the patio. And he kind of gets a little depressed thinking about, like, all of the holidays and stuff that she's missed out on. And so Ari ends up convincing him to take her to one of his favorite places. And so he drives her to his high school football stadium and he tells her about his friendship with Paige and how kind of they just supported each other through, you know, some of their hard times, because I guess they both had sick parents. And as they start dancing on the field, Noah realizes that he's in love with her, and he secretly secretly wonders what would happen if he devoted his life to loving her instead of to football. And he ends up asking her to attend the football gala with him, and he accepts.
So cute.
I do want to read a quote from his mother, though, because... it's such a cute quote. She says, "I want to remember this. My son happy. Most of the smiles I get are glossed with sadness. I worry every time he walks out the door. Not for me, for him." And I just love that. She also says, "I love the smile that curves her lips when she sees me. It's the same one every time, big and bright, as I show up to surprise her when she knew I was coming all along. I love how she is with my mom. Patient and kind, but not in a way of pity, but pride. Like, she knows what a good woman she is. Like, she understands all my mom means to me, and in turn, she means something to her too. Ari draws thoughts out of me I never had before, about things I didn't really know I wanted, but now I feel desperate for. Deeper roots and a family, the love of a lifetime." Love that.
And then he gets his heart broken.
Yes. So Chase basically texts her and says that he doesn't want to forget what's happened between them randomly. Ari's just like, you know, "I want to let this situation go." So she just ignores the text. The following chapter ends up where they're at Thanksgiving and Peyton ends up in labor and they go to the hospital. And I love the fact that they come back from the hospital and they're all like talking about how starving they are. And they walk in the kitchen and Noah has like prepared a giant feast for them.
I agree. That was very, very sweet.
It was so thoughtful. And just like he knew that like they were not getting their Thanksgiving like dinner that they had planned for and everything. So I just love that so much. So afterwards, Ari steps out and Chase comes after her and insists that he wants to be with her. He grabs her arm and he like won't let go. And so Noah appears and tells Chase to like back off. And Chase storms off furious. And Noah tells Ari that she can go after him if she wants to. And Ari, in my opinion, mistakenly goes after Chase. And
I agree.
He tells her that he wants to be with her, even though he didn't before when they slept together. And he kisses her. She pulls away and she accuses Chase of being unfair because she's with Noah. And she realizes she screwed up and she sort of stayed with Noah instead of going after Chase. So she goes back to Noah and tells him what happened. And Noah insists that if she wants to be with Chase now, that he wants to be with her, she should let him go. And she promises him that she wants to be with him and not Chase. I still think at this point she's doubting her feelings way too much. And I think that she should have a little bit more time of thoughts. Noah and Ari go to the gym and they are in the locker room having sex and Chase ends up finding them and Ari and Noah like hurry out. But on her way out, Ari makes a comment to Chase that she does instantly regret, but Noah kind of just takes a step back and says that you are kind of, I feel like, using me to get back at Chase. And he says that they just kind of need some space away from each other and she needs to think about what she's kind of getting herself into.
Childish.
I feel like it was childish, but at the same time, like, I do feel like she was kind of pushing Noah, like almost like rubbing it in Chase's face. So I can completely understand where Noah was feeling kind of used and in the
way. No, I'm saying her doing that was childish, not Noah.
Well, no. I get you. And I'm just saying like, I understand where Noah was completely coming from with all of his feelings and everything, because I mean, that's how it seemed to me when I read it. And so I can completely understand where he heard it and thought the same thing. I just don't get why Ari, if she's happy with Noah, why she had to do that either.
Yeah, I don't know why she felt the need. And honestly, you didn't even have to say anything. He just caught y'all having sex.
Exactly.
I think it says it itself. It was strange.
I don't know. And then, like, what was weird is it almost, like, instantly she was like, I realized, like, Noah's it for me. And it was just, like, really, like, a flip of a switch. And I'm just like, okay, well, then why did we just go through you telling Chase that at all?
Exactly.
You should have already known that. So she has Chase texting her, who she just continues to ignore. And he like, kind of, I don't know, was a little offensive in his text messages, not gonna lie. I was a little rubbed wrong by them. But obviously, like, you just realized you love the girl that loved you all along, and now she's with somebody else, and this is kind of your first moment you're really seeing that they're... So, but then I also kind of feel like he kind of sort of got a little bit of vibes that it is still a possibility by her comment. Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't sense, to be quite frank, with everything that was happening. But I guess I get it because she had to do something for the breakup scene. So yeah. I get that. But it didn't make sense to me in the plot and the storyline at that point. Yeah.
She does have a quote that I do want to read that she like comes with this awakening. She says, "Noah came into my life at a time when I needed a friend, and that's exactly what he became. He was the only one who inadvertently helped me with the bullshit I allowed myself to fall into after everything with Chase. So he saw how deep my feelings ran, how hard it was to let go, and every other embarrassing moment I eagerly shared. Hell, Noah's the one who helped me heal. And I didn't even know it happened until one day something changed. Suddenly, the man I was losing sleep thinking about wasn't the one it used to be. I fell for Noah, and I fell hard." So, she tries calling.
Chase treated you.
True. I don't think it would have been hard to fall for Noah after being around Chase.
No.
So she tries calling and texting Noah. He doesn't respond, but at the same time, Chase is chasing her down. And so she starts thinking about their relationship and realize she might not have acknowledged how much he had hurt her. And so she does feel like she needs to have a discussion with him.
Which I also think is immature. He's not ever going to understand because he is not going to take responsibility.
Yeah.
He says, yeah, I messed up. But he doesn't acknowledge the actual pain that he put you through and that it took him this long to freaking realize what he claims he wants now.
Yeah. I mean, he's still trying to make excuses for the situation, you know, whenever they were talking about it. So, yeah, I agree completely. And not only that, but to me, how many discussions do you have to have with Chase about your feelings before you realize, like, let's move on? So they do have a discussion and he apologizes for her actions and admits that he regrets pushing her away. And as they're hugging, Noah appears and sees them together. So he leaves and doesn't return for the practice. And so Ari tries to continue getting in touch with him. She can't find him anywhere. He hasn't shown up for football. And Chase confronts her again at a party and suggests that they try to be together. And Mason interrupts, furious that Chase is kind of making an advance towards her. And so he accuses Chase of hurting Ariana enough already by being her first sexual partner and then abandoning her. And Ari's kind of mortified as she hadn't told Chase that it was her first time. And
he also didn't ask.
No, but...
And I would have assumed that they would know she was still a virgin, considering how protective they were.
You would think.
No, like, references to, like, ex-boyfriends, really.
No, I don't think they did.
So.
But as the boys are fighting and kind of defending Ari, she realizes that she loves Noah. She tells Chase that she doesn't love him anymore. And she texts Noah and goes to leave the party. And Noah does get her text and races to the party to find her. And as they're running towards each other, a car ends up racing out in the street and hitting Ariana.
Nah, babe. Don't blame the car. This was a street. This hoe didn't look both ways.
She didn't.
And got hit by a car. The car didn't have a chance to stop.
But Noah waits in the hospital with her friends and the doctor emerges saying that she's like in a coma. And Noah races out of the hospital to go see his mom. He's really just hopeful that she wakes up so he can apologize and tell her how much he loves her. And he literally does not leave her side. I think the boys say literally other than to take a shower, he doesn't leave her side.
I think he showers like in the bathroom attached to the room.
Yeah.
Like, not even to go home and shower.
Yeah. And Mason talks about like how he needs to be going to practice and stuff. And he's like, no, like I'm giving up football. Like, you know, I'm not leaving her. And Mason's like, you know, she doesn't want that for you. And he was like, well, I could care less. Like, I'm not leaving her side. But shortly after that, Ariana does wake up. Everyone's thrilled. They end up calling in the doctor and they find out that Ari was pregnant, which nobody knew at this point. And
except for Mason.
Well, knew, like, I mean, up to the car accident, nobody knew she was pregnant. And so she looks at Chase and thinks that it is his.
That is such a dramatic scene. And so unnecessary.
Which I felt bad for Noah because
I laid him out.
Well, I feel like Mason was kind of wrong of keeping that from Noah.
I agree.
Like, I feel like that should have been said before this moment.
I wholeheartedly agree. What if she never woke up? Was he just never going to tell him?
I guess. I'm not quite sure. Because to me, honestly, I feel like if he would have known, he would have been able to process his feelings a lot sooner. And then maybe his response to her waking up and not remembering him would have been a little bit different. But like, he's grieving the baby, and then he comes around and starts having to grieve his mom, then also grieving the fact that she doesn't remember his relationship. So like, he had a lot of grief on his shoulders. And
yeah, my man was going through it.
Yeah. So Noah ends up fleeing the hospital, and Mason ends up kind of tracking him down at some point and, you know, encourages him to come back and, you know, kind of try to chase his relationship with Ari and get it back.
Which and, is kind of crazy considering what happens next.
True. And I just... Mason tries to be understanding about it. And honestly, that's like the first time that like Mason seems like the reasonable one, because before he was very unreasonable with being possessive. But I really feel bad for Noah. And especially whenever, you know, Noah goes to his mom and just kind of breaks down and tells her about everything that's happened. Really, and he makes the comment that like he feels entirely alone, and my heart just broke for him.
No, and then he really is alone because old girl dies.
Yeah.
I feel like too much tragedy happened at the end of this book.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it was all necessary.
I agree.
I think she could have got hit by a car, not pregnant, no amnesia, she's in recovery, his mom dies. Like, I don't think we had to have all of that. I think it was a lot.
Agreed. But she tells her friends that she just doesn't want them to tell her what has happened, that she wants to remember it on her own. Mason does end up telling her that Chase was not the baby's father. And, you know, Noah kind of comes back to the hospital and she sort of remembers him, but only to the point of like them leaving the summer house. She doesn't remember anything once she got to the school.
It's dumb. I'm not saying at that point she should have realized that it was him, but she should have realized it was him eventually without him having to say it.
Yeah. I love, though, that whenever she does go home, she's cooking a dinner and it's
his mom's recipe.
Yeah, I love that so much.
I do, but I didn't, because I felt so bad for Noah.
I did, but I love that his parents, like her parents, were like looking at him like, buddy, she's getting there. I love that so much. But
and yet she still wasn't.
Slowly but surely.
I just felt bad for Noah.
Look. Yeah. I loved, though, the little like conversations that Ariana's dad had with Noah, and was just like, you know.
I did love that.
He was so sweet. Like, and even Mason, even in this moment, I felt like all of her family was very supportive of him whenever, like, and they were doing it more so, like,
in anticipation of her getting her memories back together and they would be happy ever after.
Yes.
While she's not getting her memories back. It's sad. I do think it was sweet the way her dad talked with Noah and wanted to include him and, you know, whatever. But it also was just like, what?
Well, and there's a quote. It says, I'd love nothing more than to do exactly that. It's on my mind all the time, how I would start, what I would say. I've had the imaginary conversation with her 100 times now, but at the end of each one, tears brimmed in her eyes, confusion swims within them as she stares at the man telling her she loves him while internally swearing she loves another. I won't hurt her just to help myself.
But I don't, I disagree with that point of view. I don't think he has to outright tell her. I don't think he had to say, let me sit you down and tell you that we had sex and that was my baby and we're in love and you're going to love me again. And that's just it. That's not what I'm saying. But I don't think just letting her go live on not knowing and letting her even like pretend to date Chase for a little bit is appropriate. What if they had slept together again? That is more harm to her.
Mm-hmm. I don't
really
like that.
Really, it's giving Chase false hope, too, at this point.
I don't like that the friend group allowed that to happen.
Me either.
I feel like something should have been said to Chase, and it should have been, like, back the F off. Like, allow her to get her memories back, and then you can see if there's any chance at something after she's already told you 1,800 times there's not. But
If she hadn't chose before she got hit by the car, I might have a different opinion.
Yeah.
But she clearly chose.
Yeah. And my thing is like, he almost he like argues with Noah Chase does, and he's like, oh, I'm just trying to be supportive of Ariana. No, you're not.
No, you're selfish.
You're trying to now get in her pants because she's with somebody else.
Yeah, I didn't like that. Like, what if they do it? Like, that's not okay. That's not consensual because you don't know what's happened. Anyways.
She ends up going back to the house after receiving some news from the doctor, basically saying that she's, like, blocking her memories. And she does end up going down to the water and finding Noah. And as they're taking a walk, she starts crying and telling him how lost she feels. And he wants to confront her about it, but he just doesn't want to go against her wishes and tell him about the relationship. But he's glad that slowly but surely she seems to be coming around back to him. I don't like, though, that she was supposed to go to the football gala with Noah and she ends up with Chase.
And they let her go with Chase.
And, like, all of the football team is literally staring at you. Like,
what? At Chase. Yeah. Judging Chase.
Like, what the crap are you doing? But she keeps, like, she almost has, like, an internal battle with, like, her false or like her memories that are lost, like almost like fighting with her and being like, this is not right. Like, do not do this, because she gets very emotional multiple times whenever it's like something with Chase that she like internally, her body's like, no, this is wrong. Like, warning. So she ends up crying afterwards and she's just like, you know, she thinks she has everything she ever wanted, but she's still upset about it. And so,
I don't like it.
Yeah. But Mason does end up saying, whenever she, because she does cry about like her losing the child, Mason does end up saying, like, there's a man hurting as much as you who, you know, also wants to be with her. But
why did she not guess it then?
I know.
Who else? What other man has been hanging around, ho? And you don't understand why he's hanging around.
And what's crazy is she hasn't even asked that question. Like,
no!
Why is he hanging around? Like, she kind of slightly mentions it, but she's like, oh, he must just be a good friend of Mason. And I'm like, he literally hangs around you all the time.
And I think I would want to know who I slept with and who I was pregnant by. I would want to know that. Yeah. It's crazy to me that she doesn't. Especially because in her brain, she just lost her virginity to Chase.
Yeah.
And then she's told it's not Chase. So, if you know yourself and you know that you're not out here having one night stands, which, baby, you can do you, but she's not doing that. So most likely she did move on with someone else and that's who she's pregnant by. And she doesn't even want to ask.
Yeah.
I'd be mad if I was Noah. Because it's his baby too.
I personally, I mean, for the fact that she's grieving and she's kind of grieving alone, because like Mason, Brady, Cameron, they're not going to understand where she's coming from by the fact that she's lost this baby. And no. So like, I feel like for that fact to not grieve alone, it would have been the logical explanation to be like, who's the father?
A minimum, just to say like, do I know him?
Yeah.
Like, do y'all know him? Do you know who the dad was? Like, does he know the baby passed? And if that's the case, then boom, the only person in a room,
yeah,
Noah. And why would he be holding your hand when you woke up if he's not the baby daddy?
Or calling you Juliet, or I think he calls her love when she wakes up too.
It's dumb. It's dumb. I like it.
So Noah does go see his mom again though. And she gives him a ring that he found on the beach and gave it to her as a kid.
He was having such a good day. Yes. I knew what it was. I knew what was going to happen.
And whenever Ari runs into Paige on campus, she immediately remembers her, but Paige informs her that Lori has died. And I kind of felt bad for the fact that that's how she found out. Mm-hmm. I feel like even though Noah was trying to keep his distance and she didn't remember him, I still feel like she should have, out of respect of how like close it seemed like his mom and her were getting, should have said something.
Yeah.
So she attends Lori's funeral with her friends and she kind of has some flashes of memories, but she can't quite make sense of them. But as Noah's giving his eulogy, he keeps his eye on Ariana the entire time. His eulogy says, "She told me once all she ever wanted was to be a mom, a child she would be proud of, and she accomplished that." Akira's thoughtful frown builds along Ari's forehead, and I look away. She deserved to be honored by the people who respected her life's mission, and that mission was raising me. So it means the world to have all of you here, because I know you value our friendship. In doing so, you've made my mom's one dream come true. Today was bearable because all of you were with me.
Put a bullet in my head!
I know.
So sad.
So Ari goes to the beach afterwards to try to feel better, and she runs into Noah. Noah offers to show Ariana his favorite place, and he drives her to the football field and invites her to dance with him. But Noah starts to cry and pulls away, and she kind of feels heavy as she watches him walk away. They go back to the dorm room. Ari kind of doesn't remember the space, but she does lay in the bed, and she says it smells like spice and pine and mint. And she's surprised when she smelled these things at the hospital too, obviously, because no one was there. And she starts exploring her room, and she finds where she's wrote on their calendar, like gala with Noah. She finds a dress, and she realizes that her and Noah were supposed to go to the event together. So she races out of the dorm to go and see Noah, and she ends up kind of surprising herself with that she found his room without any help. And she tells him what she's figured out, and she realizes some of her clothes are in his room, and she moves in to kiss him and asks him to show her how he feels about her. And so they kiss, and they spend the rest of the night talking. And so Ari and Mason do end up going and visiting Peyton and baby Deaton. And afterwards, Mason asks Ari what she's going to do about Noah and Chase. And she admits she's not sure because she still doesn't remember.
Can I just add, though, it also was really sad to me that Ari couldn't be around baby Deaton.
Yeah.
That was really sad.
Yeah. And I respected, like, Peyton so much that she was just like, I'm not going to bring him around to force her. Like, yeah. It was very nice of her. Yeah. So when she returns back to the dorm, she does realize, like, Noah's name's written all over her calendar. And she also sees a note she's left for herself to pick something up at a local printing company.
Okay, wait. But don't breeze past that there is a
heart
little note. There's a note for the gala and says going with Noah. But then there's little hearts, and she says, like, she drew them. And he was like, no, baby, I drew the little hearts.
Yes.
I was like, okay, Noah, that was cute. I give you points for that one, Noah. That's pretty cute.
But she goes to the printing shop to pick up the project that she's worked on. And the clerk tells her a woman from the rehabilitation center left her a message asking to see her. So Ari drives to the center and runs into Kathy. And Kathy gives her a sealed envelope and offers her condolences. And so Ari races home and tears open Lori's letter. And I cry so hard every time I read that letter. Like, it's so sweet. Lori tells Ari how much she loves her, how happy she was that Ari and Noah found each other. She explains that she and Noah are in love, and that she hopes that they will help each other heal. And Ari does remember everything at that point. She says, "I can't see before me, but I see him. I see the night of the bonfire, the night at the club. I see the morning coffee and the daytime cooking. I see the bumper boats and his mouth an inch from mine. I feel his hands on me as I sit on top of the kitchen counter, and the heat of his eyes, the warmth of his body, the beat of his heart pressed against mine. I feel him all over, everywhere. A rush of yearning hits me, forcing the airs from my lung, and my body racks with sobs. Oh my God, Noah." But instead of going to Noah first to tell him how she feels, she goes to Chase and tells him how she feels about Noah. And so they talk about everything that's happened between them again for the 800th time. And she insists that she cares about Chase, but she loves Noah. And Chase does actually finally get it through his dumb head that she deserves someone like Noah. And so she races to the football field where she knows she's going to find Noah. And she tells him that she remembers everything, and he hugs her and says that she feels like home. Then
it's about damn time.
Then in the epilogue, we do find out that Ari and Noah have taken the rest of the semester off. They've moved into Ari's parents' house temporarily and spend all their time there. Basically, on Valentine's Day, she's decided that they're going to celebrate all the holidays they've missed. And after they have sex, Ari gives Noah her Christmas present, which is a recipe book that she and Lori were working on before Lori had passed. And so he then takes out the ring that Lori gave him and asks Ari to marry him. And she says yes.
The recipe book was really cute.
Yes. His vows, or his exclamation of love, is, "I want you, Ariana Johnson, like no man has ever wanted a woman before, and I'm sure of it. I want to give you the life you dreamed of, the one you shared with me. I want to give you a home on the ocean, one that will be ours, where the back deck faces the ocean so we can sit outside at night while the sun sets, but only so that we can watch the way the moon bounces off the water the way you love. I want to come home and cook for you while you sit back and watch our little one in your arms." So sweet.
So sweet.
So, what is your final thoughts and ratings?
Okay. You know, probably so Emily doesn't like this. It's not as bad as it could be. I like some parts of the book. I didn't like others. It was kind of back and forth. I did think the book was rather long for it to be a standalone in a interconnected series. And I thought there were things that could have been taken out. Didn't think we had to have that much drama. But my overall rating is a 3. And I know that hurts Emily's feelings. It could have been worse. It could have been better. I'm just kind of there in the middle. And surprisingly, I didn't pick my rating today. I picked it before so I could do it on Fable. So I did put a little more thought into it probably than normal. But anyways, so that's mine. What's yours, Emily?
So the first time I read it, it was 5 stars. I do have to say, rereading it, I don't think it was as high. I would say it's probably like a 4.7 to me. But
still pretty high.
It is still pretty high. Like, and honestly, Noah is 99% of that reason of it being so high. Also his mom, like, I love her as well. Like, honestly, those two and Brady made the story for me. The thing was, the first time I read it, I don't think I had as much problem with the friend group, but I think it's because I didn't know how they treated her at the end. So like the first time I read it, I wasn't. And then the second time I was like, the whole time I was like, man, they really treat her crappy at the end. So it made me kind of overanalyze every interaction prior to the accident. So it definitely made me kind of reevaluate that score. I still love Noah. He's still one of my favorite book boyfriends, though. I think my type of love that realistically I like in real life is very close to how Noah responds to Ari. So I think that's why I love the book so much, is like, that's what I want out of a relationship and want out of, you know, my fiance and things. So I feel like he treats her very respectfully. He is very for her, but like with a respectable distance. I think that he allows her to be her own person, but you know, at the same time, they're able to be together and be themselves. So I think it was the most realistic to myself and what I personally want. Like other book boyfriends, that's what makes things spicy, you know, or just like their love is just like something out of this world or out of the ordinary, where this one seemed the most realistic and like a love story to my personal preference.
Okay. We indeed. All right. So if you liked this episode or any of our other episodes, please subscribe to get bonus episodes randomly throughout each month or on the 5th Friday, if there is one, on Patreon. We also have other extra content and a community chat and more on Patreon. You can find our free episodes that are released on the 1st and 3rd Fridays of each month on any podcasting platform.
You can also send us book suggestions, comments, or general inquiries to our email at likewereadthem@carlmpodcast.com. You can also subscribe now for our monthly newsletter. You can also join us on Fable for our book discussions, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram for more engagement and the latest news. We also on Fable have not our next book, which Carly will let you know about here in just a second, but we do have the other book that we are going to be reading, which you will get a sneak peek on that when you join our Fable book chat. And you guys can go chapter by chapter and let us know what you're thinking if you'd like, or you can just, you know, whatever chapter speaks to you, let us know. Some of that may be read on our podcast, or we may be responding back and forth with you guys and having some engagement on there. Carl, do you want to let us know what we're reading next?
Yes. So our next episode releases on March 7th. And in that episode, we are discussing 19 Steps by Millie Bobby Brown. It is a historical fiction, but it's my understanding that it's also inspired by true events of her own family's experience during World War II. So that'll be a little fun. I'm going to go ahead and read the blurb. It is, "Love blooms in the darkest days. It's 1942, and London remains under constant threat of enemy attack as the Second World War rages on. In the Bethnal Green neighborhood, Nellie Morris counts every day lucky that she emerges from the underground shelters unharmed, her loving family still surrounding her. 3 years into the war, she's grateful to hold on to remnants of normalcy. Her job is assisting the mayor and nights spent at the local pub with her best friend. But after a chance encounter with Ray, an American airman stationed nearby, Nellie becomes enchanted with the idea of a broader world. Just when Nellie begins to embrace an exciting new life with Ray, a terrible incident occurs during an air raid one evening, and the consequences are catastrophic. As the truth about that night is revealed, Nellie's world is torn apart. When it seems all hope is lost, Nellie finds that, against all odds, love and happiness can triumph. 19 Steps is a deeply affecting, mesmerizing pause resistor inspired by the author's family history, an epic story of longing, loss, and secrets. Millie Bobby Brown's propulsive debut introduces an unforgettable, brave young woman and boldly portrays the strength and the power of love. I'm excited to see if we like this one as much as we liked The Nightingale.
Agreed.
Wasn't the love interest also named Ray in that book? He was a British airman, though. He wasn't an American airman.
Yeah.
But I thought his name was also Ray. But anyways.
I can't remember that.
I'm interested to see if we're going to like this one as much as we liked The Nightingale. But we appreciate you tuning into this episode, and we can't wait to hear your thoughts on this episode and this book. Maybe you side more with me, or maybe you side more with Emily. We shall see. On Fable, it looks like y'all side a little bit more with me, but I don't know. Anyways, so don't forget to join us on Fable as we read some of our books over there each month. And as always, we promise to crawl them like we read them.
Theme song.